Hi there. I'm Flame Flash of FlameFlash.net, and this is episode 35 of the FlameFlash.net podcast. Welcome aboard. We're going to start things off with the Raptor Report because it wasn't a slow news week, so I actually have things, more things to talk about. The Raptor Report, though. You don't know Jack. That's right, we went back to the You Don't Know Jack and enjoyed it. Got a little bit late, so Red Flare decided she wanted to beat me over the head with the controller. Not literally. But only two rounds in, therefore. Each round is about 15 minutes, give or take, especially with only two people. But it's a great game. We're not through all of the game sessions yet, either. And I think it's going to take a while for us to have played it back to back to back to back to really memorize the answers to any of the game quizzes. There are 10 questions, individual questions, and then there's that last Jack attack. And how are you going to memorize all of that? Sure, maybe you'll vaguely remember, but this game has a lot of replay value potential. And heck, we haven't even scraped the surface of it yet. We haven't gotten that trophy that says we've played every one of the episodes yet. Perfect. Lego Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars. It's amazing to me that the trophy we earned, so we beat the game, helped the son do that. 37.8% of players on Raptor have the final trophy. What are you folks doing? Go play this game. Grab one of your kids and go play it. It is a fun game. While you're at it, go watch Clone Wars, seasons 1 and 2. I believe that's the two seasons that fall into this game. Might help you with a few of the levels. Maybe not, but I think it does. And the son is more excited when he sees a level that he's seen than levels that he's just not familiar with whatsoever. Lego Indiana Jones appears on the Raptor Report as well, but this one, little man, decided to have put in the Xbox, and that has automatic tracking, so I assume he had fun with it, running around. He quite enjoys the Lego games himself, even though he's not really old enough to fully comprehend, say, the need to not jump down holes and kill yourself. He's entertained by the fact that people explode in an explosion of Lego bricks. What 3-year-old isn't? Dungeon Defenders. We are now into the third dungeon of Dungeon Defenders. Yes, the oldest son has done most of the work. He's the one that's enjoyed the game the most, but I've helped him realize some of those hidden features that aren't immediately clear to you, like taking some of your banked mana and upgrading your armor, upgrading your pets, being sure to sell off all of those banked items. Something that I find really interesting is that each character doesn't have their own bank. I guess this may be due to the PS3 version, but all four of us, when we're playing together, each share an item bank. So there's not a large worry of, oh, should I wait and grab this or not? Because maybe sister who's playing the Huntress could use this crossbow. Grab it! That way it doesn't go poof accidentally. Then once you're back at the tavern, everybody can look at the item box, see if there are any upgrades, and grab them. If there aren't any upgrades, one person can then slide through and sell all of the stuff. and then it's time to upgrade. Now, because it's a shared item box, it's also a shared mana box. Mana bank. And this is the primary currency you use for upgrading all of your stats on your weapons and things. Not too shabby. It works. It would work better if each individual character was able to be more independent, or had the option of being more independent. I would appreciate that, but such as it is, the team becomes more powerful when a single character gets skilled up or leveled up, and it works out, therefore. Of course, the little guy, who is currently playing a knight, whenever he does get enough experience to level up, we simply pump it into health and damage. He's slowly starting to understand the concept of putting down traps, but not enough that leveling those up is a high priority at the moment. It's more of a priority that he survive, as long as he doesn't think it's super funny to jump into the lava. So he actually helps make the game harder, because, well, the more players there are, the more enemies there are. So if you don't have an active player, you have more enemies to share amongst, say, a team of three when there are four controllers active. It's a great game, though. It's on multiple consoles, it's on multiple systems. Pick it up somewhere. Mario Kart 7. Still working on 150cc. Oh, well, that's rude. The doorbell at 9? My apologies. We're going to pause. Alright, now where were we? Sorry about that. When the doorbell rings, you kind of have to answer it, don't you? Normally? I don't know. Anyway, Mario Kart 7. Still working on 150cc. And loving it. Absolutely loving it. I got another street pass. So not a street pass with the wife. It was another street pass entirely. I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to race and see what starts to happen as you collect more street passes. Do you end up suddenly just racing an army of Miis? Or does it pull back and only, say, plop one Mii racer in each course? It'll be interesting to see as it slowly fills up. Only have two street pass people so far, and we'll wait and see. Red Flare, on the other hand, is, I think, still in 100, but it's because she is dead set on getting triple star on every track, or every cup, before moving on. So, to each their own as far as play style goes. That is probably why she can beat me so handily when we play together, because I'm more for the pushing forward and unlocking all of the characters, and she's more for the get 3 stars on every cup. Playstyles. Diablo 3 beta, still going strong. I didn't, you know, fully read the disclosures and whatnot, so I'll simply say it's still going strong. Best Buy made fools of themselves, which is kind of funny, by announcing the February 1st release date, which Blizzard has now turned around and said, no. So you guys kind of just wasted your money on making these big signs that say Diablo 3 is coming out on February 1st. Highly amusing. We'll wait and see when it actually comes out, or when Blizzard deigns us worthy of having that information. And in the meantime, I shall go and bask in the beta. Finally, another Blizzard game comes out on top. Not too bad for a full, almost full work week. No, this was a full work week. Not too shabby of gaming. World of Warcraft. The last Dark Moon Fair pushed my priest up to the point that I need to go and level her if I'm going to benefit from the next Dark Moon Fair's plus 5 to her professions. So that's what I'm doing. Bounced 2 levels already from 56 to 58. Now I am Outland ready level-wise, but not skill-wise, because her inscription's nice and high and right at the limit, but her herbalism is still down low. Almost 2 Outland levels there. I'm a stickler for my professions, and so I refuse to move on to the next generation of the next expansion of content until the character's professions are also ready for the next expansion content. Possibly silly, but I've done it with a Death Knight going back and flying around and grinding up professions, and doing it all at once is a huge pain for me. So doing it in these small chunks and then leveling it as I level the character is a heck of a lot safer to prevent me from burnout. And, of course, burnout bad. Now, over on the blog side of things, on flameflash.net, I have a great picture of all of us in Angry Bird t-shirts. It is a great game. Best Buy, amusingly going back to that, has a nice little ad push in the store saying that, well, if you don't have a phone capable of playing Angry Birds, maybe it's time to upgrade. Angry Birds is available on other platforms, PlayStation Network, for instance. And over Christmas, so we're looking at Christmas Day, actually, there were 6.5 million copies of Angry Birds downloaded. Now, some folks out there may be tired of Angry Birds by now. You're old to the fad. These are new players. These are new folks coming to it first thing. There were 6.8 million smartphone activations, by the way. So, almost 100% of all smartphones that were activated on Christmas also downloaded Angry Birds. Wow. That's something to be proud of. You may not be impressed with the game, but those aren't laughable figures right there. Most video games would absolutely love those kinds of numbers. But to put in perspective, World of Warcraft has 10 million players. 10 million active subscribers worldwide. So, a little more than half of the World of Warcraft population went out and downloaded Angry Birds. Mind-blowing. Alright. Now, there's that other game out there, that other MMO, with lightsabers. Star Wars: The Old Republic. Now, I'm not signing up. I have no plans on signing up. Maybe once there's a Mac client, I'll give it a try. Because the Mac client probably won't tie me to EA's Origin service. I refuse to sign up for Origin. Sorry, guys. But IGN gave it a 9.0. An amazing rating. Can barely get better than that. So, it's worth it. If you're burned out on WoW, if you've tried DC Universe Online and you're unimpressed, if you prefer the pay subscription model to the free-to-play model, Star Wars might be the game for you. But consider that DC Universe Online just celebrated today, January 11th, the night of my recording, 1 year online. It's been kind of rocky, it's been bumpy. They switched to free to play back in October. But 1 year online, that's an awesome milestone. They had some screenshots up of some special capes it looks like you might be able to download. Haven't fired it up. I wanted to have enough bandwidth. I think there's probably going to be an update or two, so wanted enough bandwidth to run Ustream properly. But that's cool. Congratulations, DC Universe Online. You deserve it, and I hope you stick around, because it's a fun game. It's not one I play often, obviously, from the Raptor Report, but it's still a fun game. And I look forward to flying around on my electrical powerhouse again. So, staying in the PS3 realm, if you're interested in this kind of thing, I don't usually follow sports, you now have college sports apps available on the PS3. The apps themselves are free to download and install. There are features of the apps that are free. But then there is also a subscription model that lets you download and watch college sports. Not too shabby if you're a college sports fan. They did the same thing with the NFL, I believe it was, through DirecTV. So it's nice to see Sony and the PS3 branching out and doing some other things. Personally, I wish we could test the Verizon Fios service. I would absolutely love to give that a shot and then miraculously maybe drop cable. Drop internet through the cable company. Heck, then we could get a phone for the wife to kill. Oh, she's ignoring me. Oh well. She has a habit of killing cell phones. Even, there we go. Even if she looks at them wrong, they'll burst into flames. Well, maybe they won't go that far, but they will go through the washer. Yeah, you can't live that one down. Anyway, college sports apps. And I wish I could give that Verizon TV a shot on the Xbox. It looks cool. It looks like it would be a good reason to stay with Xbox Live. As it stands, I haven't really used it much. I'm FlameFlash82 out there. But with a 20 gig hard drive, and most of my games being on the PS3 at this point, there's just not much incentive. I like the feel of the controller better, for crying out loud, of the PS3. You can't really get around that issue. Kinect looks cool. The Star Wars Kinect bundle looks very cool, with, you know, the R2-D2 looking Xbox. So, we shall see. We shall wait, and we shall see. We have a lot of Star Wars fans in this household. So, PlayStation realm, we shall stay. But moving on to the handheld department. I've talked a lot about the Vita. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Vita, because the AT&T 3G plans have now been released. Personally, I would likely not be getting the Vita, period. I absolutely love my 3DS in my pocket. It's a pedometer, so I can keep track of how many steps I've taken in a day. I can randomly street pass somebody. I don't need an extra service or fee to use all of that functionality. It's just there. Sure, it's only Wi-Fi, but it's there. It's free. There's not a hidden cost to owning a 3DS system. That's a bonus to me. But If you're interested, the Vita data plans through AT&T, $15 a month, and there's no contract, so you can sign up for a month, drop it at the end of the month, just watch your calendar. I don't know what the hassle is going to be for signing up and turning it back off, but be sure to watch your calendar and give yourself, say, a work day, a weekday buffer between when you will likely want to turn it off versus when you want to turn it on. It's probably a heck of a lot easier to turn it on than it is to turn off. So maybe just give yourself that weekday buffer at the end of your month. So that way you don't miss out on too much of the money you've paid, but you also don't keep rolling over to another month when you don't want to go another month. $15 gives you 250 megabytes of download. This is similar to the Verizon 250 meg iPad 2 3G service, I believe. So you have to kind of be a judge for yourself. Is that enough download bandwidth? Are you going to mostly be on Wi-Fi at that rate anyway? So it's not going to matter, and you'll just use the 3G on your Vita for Facebook and Twitter and that kind of thing. If you don't have a smartphone, the Vita could very well be the next best thing. A month-to-month data plan that you can turn on and off. Then you can still, with a touch screen, check for the various services. I'm sure they'll have a email app eventually, if they don't when it launches. And then you get your Facebook and whatnot. Now, if 250 meg seems a little too small, you can go up $10, if my notes are correct. It's either a 2 or a 7. Ah, curse this small, sloppy handwriting. We'll say it's 25. Goes to 2 gigs of download. Quite a bit more reasonable. The price is a little iffy. I mean, 4 months of 2 gig download, and you've got yourself the largest memory card available for the Vita. So you really need to weigh your pros and cons on if the 3G is even the way to go. For me, I'd probably just get the Wi-Fi version. So, World of Warcraft. Oh, before I move on to World of Warcraft news, Ultimate Spider-Man and The Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. These are two animated television series. Ultimate Spider-Man is new, coming out on April 1st, and The Avengers is going to go into its second season. Both of these hit, supposedly, April 1st. Quite looking forward to it. The first season of Avengers is absolutely amazing. It was available on Netflix, not sure if it still is. It's also available on iTunes for full download of the season. I believe in both HD and SD. And the Spider-Man series, for the most part, have always been strong. So it's going to be nice to pick that up again and see where they take it. There's supposedly going to be some kind of cross-episode thing. So Ultimate Spider-Man will be with the Avengers, if I understood that announcement properly, at least for one episode, which is also pretty cool. You don't see that very often anymore. Live-action television, it's a little bit easier to pull off, too, because there's not a bunch of artists involved, there's not extra voice work involved, it's just getting all of the people in the right place. Apple has an event ready for Red Flair's birthday. Not specifically for Red Flair, of course, but on January 19th, they are going to have an education event in New York. We'll have to wait and see. The speculation is that this is going to be something to do about textbooks, digital textbooks on the iPad, perhaps. Awesome. Back in my day, I had to carry a bag full of books in college. And they cost, when said and done, about as much as an iPad. So it'd be really awesome to, after college, have an iPad. Just invest in an iPad, hopefully spend much less on the digital version of the books, and then you have both the digital version of the books and an iPad when you're said and done. Cool. One can only hope. We will have to wait and see for Red Flare's birthday. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, by the way, has a little public service announcement going out there. Don't go and upgrade your AOL client. If you're still using the AOL client at all, don't upgrade to the beta. Don't opt in to automatically update further. They are starting to save conversations to the cloud. So that means any conversation you have could potentially be sitting on AOL servers and just sitting there for anybody to go by and grab. Now, I'm not one to ever send passwords over text chat as it is, but remember not to, and you never know who else is reading, so keep it light and fuzzy and fun as far as these chat clients go. It's not meant for deep, serious business conversations or anything too remarkable and large. They're chat programs. And just watch out for AOL trying to spring that on you. Because once you upgrade, once your sign-in says, yes, I have upgraded to this new version, even if you go then and use something like the Raptor client, which has AOL built in, AOL will still say, oh, he's opted into the remembering conversations to the cloud, so we'll remember all of this to the cloud too, even though the Raptor client doesn't do it. Any kind of cloud stuff itself. Grr. So thank you, Electronic Frontier Foundation. This is a great group to follow on Twitter if you're wanting to keep track of SOPA news, too. So I'll leave it at that. I ranted about SOPA on a previous occasion. World of Warcraft-wise, the Scroll of Resurrection is currently on cooldown. Now, this is their service of, hey, you have a buddy you know has played WoW in the past. They quit WoW for whatever reason. You can email them a scroll, in quotes, and they can reactivate their account for a short time. If they start paying again, you get a free month as kind of your reward for bringing somebody back to the game. Well, right now, it's been announced the Scroll of Resurrection is on cooldown. It'll be back, but they must be doing something in the background for rearranging how the feature works, or maybe they're going to add something more to it, more incentive for you to use the system. We'll just wait and see. But in 4.3.2, it has been announced that we're going to do instancing cross-realm. Yes, I know, this already occurred, but you could only do it for looking for group. So, or looking for dungeon system. Now, if here I am on Zangarmarsh, on my level 85 druid, and a buddy of mine signs up for World of Warcraft, we trade real IDs, we can then group. And even though they're still a newbie and stuck on a completely different server, I could run them through Deadmines or the stocks or any other instance that was level appropriate to them. I could literally walk my character through the portal and join them inside the instance. So it's instance sharing cross realm. No more having to be in a looking for dungeon group to do it. Awesome. This also applies to battlegrounds and raids. Now, the battlegrounds are kind of already applied to anyway, so that's not as big of a deal. But you can go and run, say, a classic raid now with your friends on other servers. Very cool. AQ40, here we come. Not really. Maybe we'll go to the Molten Core and kill the original rag. Finally, last but not least, World of Warcraft is going to get a 64-bit client. This is more amazing than it sounds on the surface, because how many of you have a 64-bit computer or would like to get a 64-bit computer? If you have more than, say, I think it's two or four gigs of RAM, I'm forgetting at the moment, it's getting late, your PC can't use it if it's, well, we'll say 4 gigs. If it's greater than 4 gigs and you're 32-bit, give it up. There's no point in having any more than that. 64-bit system, you can go much higher in RAM. And any program can also use much more RAM. So your faster computer is going to run World of Warcraft faster now. Don't worry, they're not getting rid of the 32-bit client. But for 64-bit users, you're going to get that little bit of a leg up on performance. So maybe you won't have to disable as many add-ons before going to a battleground, for instance, anymore. I leave all mine on anyway, but for those of you that are extra performance conscious, now you won't have to worry about it as much. But after answering the door, after the Raptor report, and after World of Warcraft, I suppose we'll close her out. I'm Flame Flash of FlameFlash.net. You can find me on Twitter, Flame Flash, Facebook, FlameFlash.net page, fan page, FlameFlash82 on Xbox Live. It's still going. Love to have an incentive to actually get on there. And Flame Flash on the PSN. If you have a 3DS, well, put it in your pocket. Maybe we'll street pass sometime. This is Flame Flash of episode 35, signing off. Thanks for stopping by.